Nearly Home.
Hey, Reba here with Realtor.com. Picking the wrong agent to sell your home could cost you time and money. That's why smart sellers compare agents first with Real Choice Selling. Realtor.com lets you compare sales history, commissions, and experience so you can find the best agent for your home. Save yourself the headaches. Find the right agent and sell smart. Make it real with Realtor.com.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a weather-hit night across Scottish football. It was all shaping up to be one of the biggest nights of the season after Hearts lost last night, and it may still turn out to be, but Aberdeen against Celtic is off. That means a big chance for Rangers to take advantage and get points on the board when they entertain Kilmarnock. Dundee against Motherwell is also off, but Livy Falkirk and Hibs Dundee United survive. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight I've got Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray. It's still big. It just could have been bigger. I feel a little bit let down, but we'll just embrace what we still have.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. It kind of spoils your opening gambit the night as well, didn't it?
I was going to say it's the biggest night of the season at the top.
No, listen, I've obviously watched St Mirren Hearts last night, and you know, Rangers and Celtic, the opportunity tonight to go and close that gap and apply a little bit of pressure. And from a purely selfish point of view, I want to get up the road and watch the second half of this game. So I'm a wee bit disappointed that it's off.
Yeah, disappointing. However, there's still three games going on, Gordon, and what a massive 3 points for St Mirren last night. It was pivotal at the bottom of the table. They seem to be going in the right direction.
0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need, so come on down. It's still big. You always give it the big build up. It's not as big as it could have been, but it's still massive. And I guess, Rangers fans, is it all about you trying to take advantage, get the points on the board, let everyone else try and do the catching up? Is that the way you see it, or are you a bit more relaxed about these things? Everybody plays the same amount of games come the end of the season. Does it really matter? You tell us how you feel on Celtic fans. Are you a bit sort of let down? Does it feel, there's not much you can do, it's raining and the pitch isn't playable, but you know, do you feel like it's a bit frustrating, you'll need to catch up, you'll need to squeeze the game in another time, or does it not matter? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. If you're going along to Ibrox, of course, we'd love to hear from you. We always like that on the big games, that you pick up the phone and tell us your thoughts about who should play. Maybe you'll see some more of the new players in, who shouldn't play, how you see the games going, all that sort of thing. Same number as always, tweet us at Clyde SSB. If you want to still reflect on the transfer window, you can, because it's only day two really of the fallout, and I don't think we scratched the surface last night, to be honest. So if you want to keep going there, again, same number, get in touch. We are here until 8 o'clock. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be fascinated to see if the new signing who came in the door on Monday, Nadiri, whether he features or not. Might be a big ask. Be fascinated to see how Olsen does. This will be his third game for Rangers, having had about 10, 11 weeks out. So they will be looking for him to actually get up to speed as quickly as possible. But listen, Kilmarnock got a really big win at the weekend. You know, they'll come in with a bit of confidence on the back of that and make it very difficult for Rangers.
Does it feel like it matters to you, Simon, the fact that the game's not off? Like, you know, from a Celtic perspective, as an example, how frustrating is that, that the Rangers might get the points on the board, you need to squeeze a fixture in, or is it just, I don't know, it's just one of those things? Like I said, the pitch isn't playable, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, it's one of those things, but you know, if you ask any Celtic fan out there, especially the ones that have set off for Aberdeen, the players as well, they want the game to go ahead. I looked at the pitch, looked okay in bits, but I think it was the goal mouth in one end that posed the problem. But I think at this juncture of the season, where it's to and fro with the top three, Celtic would have liked another 3 points on the board tonight.
Because last night was significant. Hearts have Absolutely. Not lost a lot of games this season. They have time and time again managed to survive, going down to 10 men.
Yeah.
Was this just one step too far?
Yeah, without doubt. And I think Derek McInnes post-match, like, can I allude to that? He says we can't keep getting away with this, and I think that was a message to his players. You know, I think they tried to overplay at the back and they get the pocket picked, and I don't think there was any qualms with the actual red card. I think it was a good decision, and I think there was actually a couple of good decisions. Now, we give referees a lot of stick on on here, and I have to say VAR worked a treat last night with the penalty also.
Well, listen, imagine there was no VAR in that penalty that's about a yard outside the box. It stands.
Yeah,
it's warm. Remember those days?
I do.
I almost feel like I can't quite.
We're still doing it, Gordon, in the championship.
Oh, that's
mate,
true,
yeah.
I was going to say. But the notion that that penalty might have stood is mad. But anyway, get all your calls in, please. Where have you been, actually, Simon Donnelly, before we go any further? There was some vicious rumours doing the rounds that you had wrapped Super Scoreboard because you can't
get more money somewhere else.
You can't win it, beat the pundit. We've not seen you in months.
A week or so.
Doha this and
just
Spain
Doha.
That and
just Doha mate. Just Doha for
honestly.
A few days.
Nice earner Sid.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of work and pleasure.
Work. Honestly, only guy I know that goes to Doha for a week does a 15 minute Celtic Q&A, plays golf for the rest of the trip.
I had to play a game. That was the toughest part of it, playing a game. 90 minutes
hungover as well. 01419511025. Let's get a scene setter from Ibrox, which does go ahead. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, it does, and I think the news of that postponement at Pittodrie will probably be welcomed by many of the supporters making their way to Ibrox tonight, because they already had the chance to put some pressure on Hearts, who of course we all know dropped 3 points against St Mirren last night, but it now also gives them the chance to put some extra pressure on Celtic. Yes, of course Celtic will have that game in hand to come, but it's always important at this time of the season to try and get those points on the board as early as you possibly can. Now, going back to the weekend, Rangers faced criticism for that performance, didn't they? A lack of creativity in that goalless draw against Hibs. But could that be solved by the deadline day addition of German striker Ryan Adeyemi? You do wonder whether there'll be a temptation from Danny Rule to maybe just throw him in from the start if all his paperwork is sorted for tonight. He's been playing football, he should be match fit. He's got 8 goals and 5 assists so far this season. So will he make his debut from the off tonight? Will it be more likely that he'll make his appearance off the bench? Or will we see him at all just based on whether that red tape has all been ratified or not? And I think Rangers fans, as Alex was touching on, be intrigued to see a bit more from the likes of Andreas Skov-Olsen, Tochi Chukwuanyi as well. Not sure whether Tuur Romans is ready to make an impact on the side. That January signing, he's yet to feature for Rangers at all so far. But there's also another good storyline here, of course. It's in the dugout, this one. Neil McCann, Billy Dodds, who were in the home dugout here for a good spell last season, assisting Barry Ferguson during his interim spell. They've now taken over at Kilmarnock, and what a big win that was for them at the weekend against Aberdeen. Maybe some question marks over the appointment initially, coupled with a slow start in their first three or so games, but new signings in the door, 3 big points on the board at the weekend. How much belief can they take from that heading into this game tonight? They may have some new faces featuring as well tonight, but of course one of those won't be Finlay Curtis. The loanee can't play against his parent club. I'll give you the full team news from Ibrox as soon as I get it.
And until then, give us your thoughts. 01419511025 on the postponements, on the balance of power now that Hearts lost last night, and there's the potential for Rangers to win tonight, and Celtic will need to catch up at some point. New signings potentially featuring this evening. We've got other games. We've got the transfer deadline day to look back on. What more could you want? 01419511025. Did you expect to see a debut at some point for Ryan Nadiri?
I think to start, Gordon, I think it'd be a big ask. He's just in the building. He doesn't really know the style of play that Rangers are trying to do. However, I would like to see him at some part tonight. I think they've waited. They've tried to push the boat out. And they're excited about this guy, so they want to get him minutes as soon as possible. And I think he's up to speed as well. He's obviously been playing, so I think it's an opportunity to maybe get him somewhere as the game progresses.
Liam is a Rangers fan who's going to kick things off tonight. How are you, Liam?
I'm absolutely brilliant. How are you?
Equally good, brilliant. Thanks. What are you thinking tonight?
Rangers are going to win the league, obviously.
Okay, and what makes you so confident?
What do you mean, what makes me so confident? Celtic's not playing tonight because they're fear to Kilmarnock, they're fear to Aberdeen, sorry. Terrified. If that was us, we'd have been up there playing football and welly boots.
I don't think Celtic get to choose if the game
played or not
goes ahead, though.
Of course they do. They're terrified.
So hold on, like, let me get this straight. The weather in Aberdeen, is that the bit that's controlled by Celtic, or is the pitch inspection being controlled? I'm lost, Liam.
What do you mean you're lost? My guess is you're in the studio.
I'm intellectually lost, because you genuinely phone in and say Celtic have arranged this game to be off because they're scared of Aberdeen.
Yes, that's what I said.
I mean, that's like quite obviously nonsense though, isn't it? Like, if we're being serious
not
about
really
it all.
Not.
Oh,
no,
come on. So they'd rather squeeze a fixture in at another point when they, so what, they won't be scared of Aberdeen when they, because they will need to play at some point, won't they?
Aye, but they're obviously going to build up the courage to do it.
Right, okay. I mean,
I think they've only lost one in 44 games against Aberdeen. They must be petrified.
Yeah, it's not the type of record that would strike fear into you, Liam, is it?
Big team. Aberdeen's a big team. They're contenders for the league or not, by the way?
No, they're not.
How?
Because they're miles off at the round, top six.
Right. That's all right.
Oh, wow.
It's only halfway, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's not halfway. It's the 4th of February.
Yeah.
Simon, I don't know. I could dignify that with a response, if you like.
Do you want me to respond?
Bye. Why not? Crack on.
Listen, I think Celtic... Why would Celtic want to...
Oh, you don't have to. Come on, why are we doing this?
I know. Why would they want to fall behind?
Yeah, see when you actually see the footage.
You need to squeeze the game in as
well. Yeah, absolutely. And the timing of that could potentially be after Stuttgard as well. So
you're saying that, so yeah. Then you've got that. I know, backlog.
So you have a backlog which doesn't do Celtic any favours. I think the interesting thing, I originally seen some footage which was out earlier on, and I thought, we played in the worst pitch on that. But then I seen.
Oh, your pitch on Friday night.
Yeah, it was dire. But listen, I seen further footage about 20 minutes ago, and listen, that was a correct decision because the pitch was, it was a shambles.
But you won't get, I think the obvious case here, Simon, is you'd always rather play, right? You'd rather play, you'd rather get points on the board, yeah. That sort of thing. If there's room for any sort of counter whatsoever, does this allow Celtic's three deadline day signings to bed in?
You're leading with Liam here.
No, I'm not saying you would choose it, but if you're looking for a silver lining is what I'm trying to say. So chances are, I don't know if any of them
another few days working with them.
Could any of them feature tonight? I would think no, but by the time the game comes around, maybe they do.
Yeah, maybe. That might be the only bit.
The big defender was in common sense. Well, he was in my flight from London yesterday morning. No, the Benjamin.
Oh, the boy from Brentford.
So I'm assuming he wouldn't get into Glasgow till yesterday afternoon.
Listen, that might be the only thing you can take from that, but I wouldn't have expected any of them to start tonight. I think the two that have been there, the striker, Javan Chara and Araujo, would have played. But listen, Alex's been in the game. You want to play these games. Yeah. You want to play them. You want to go think positive after last night's result with Hearts and get 3 points.
Gordon, when they dropped points last night, Hearts, both Rangers and Celtic, players and management would be going, lovely. Give us this game tomorrow night.
Definitely.
Because it gives you an opportunity to bridge that gap and you just roll on to the next one and you just keep going. But if anything, it's a hindrance to Celtic because they would have been up there. They were probably staying at St Andrews or something, which it's an overnight stay. You know, then you have to get all that kind of preparation again for somewhere down the line. So
and have to squeeze the game in somewhere else as well.
Both from RPL saying that.
Yeah, so... No, I think it works against Celtic tonight for the game to be postponed.
Thank you to Liam. Always good to hear a point that you've never heard before and didn't expect. 0141 951 1025. Just Martin O'Neill out in the Pittodrie pitch with his hose.
Oh man,
I like the sound of that. I actually saw an interview with Alan Burrows, the CEO of Aberdeen, and I think he said it was, let me get the time frame right, I don't want to misquote him. He said it was 30 something consecutive days of rain.
Snow
in Aberdeen. I think, well, Dundee's off as well against Motherwell. Was Tannadice off? Was
a couple
that
weeks ago,
was that last weekend?
Yep.
So,
I think it's fair to say it's right up that east coast. You know, they've clearly got issues with the amount of rain they've had.
Let's go to Blake, who's on the other line. Blake, as a Rangers fan then, do you see this as an opportunity to get points on the board, put some pressure on the others?
Definitely. A chance to open a gap, at least.
And also the you never can write any fixture off, but I suppose now with the way Rangers are playing, I know it wasn't brilliant against Hibs to be fair, but they're still at a bit of a run there. A home game against Kilmarnock, is that one that you now go into with full confidence when maybe a few months ago you were feeling it every fixture?
Definitely. Should be full of confidence. Maybe a 4-5-0.
Oh, wow.
And the goal difference back up.
That is full of confidence. What do you make of the signings? You think Rangers have done enough in this window to win the league?
I think we have, aye. Definitely. And then hopefully in the summer, that boy Dal.
Oh yeah, I saw that one as well, yeah.
He'd maybe be a good signing. But still no confident about winning the league 100%, because still to play Hearts, still to play Celtic.
I mean, even if you take Celtic out of the equation, Alex, they were meant to play, they're now not. with Hearts losing last night, that's an opportunity, irrespective of what was going on at Pittodrie. As you said, Rangers fans and players should have been licking their lips when they saw Hearts losing last night. That's the way a title race works, isn't
it? Well, listen, not just the fans, Gordon. I think if you're a player as well, this is an opportunity to bounce back on the disappointment at the weekend, the performance at the weekend. There's about a lot labelled at Rangers' lack of urgency at the weekend. So for me, this is an opportunity. As a player, you'd be in there saying, right, okay, we need to get a fast start. We need to overwhelm Kilmarnock. And we need to get after them and try and get an early goal. We'll settle down the crowd. But in the opposite dressing room, you've got two guys that were fierce, you know, they're competitors. So they'll be saying the same, try and quiet the crowd for 20 minutes. And then obviously try and see if we can get something out of the top end of the pitch.
It's a football match, Simon. You have all possibilities remain open. I know Rangers are big favourites, but that's the beauty of the real pressure of a title race. You have to leave open the possibility Kilmarnock go there, cause a shock, and then my goodness, how things would then change. It feels like that's how important every single game is going to be from now to the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's why it's going to be exciting from now to the end of the season. But the three teams,
you think it'll go to the wire, Sid?
I think it will, yeah. I think it will. I think there's going to be points dropped again. Listen, when it gets closer and closer, you've been through it yourself, the pressure intensifies. Things don't go well at Ibrox tonight, there'll be grumblings in the home support. Yep. You've got to handle that. You've got to come through that. And I think going back to Hearts last night, up until last night, any little bit of adversity, Hearts have had an answer for it. Yeah. Last night, they fall short. And, you know, if I'm a player watching that last night and I'm part of the Rangers set-up or the Celtic set-up, you can't wait for tonight because they've slipped up and it's an opportunity to peg them back. So I think it's going to to and fro right to the end.
Do you think that does add a different pressure, anxiety, whatever, to Ibrox tonight, Alex? Because it's, you know, everything's just more intensified now. You know, if Rangers don't start well, 0-0 at half time, whatever, you can just imagine the feeling inside Ibrox of the fear of missing what is now an opportunity to A, take advantage of Hearts last night, and B, put points on the board that Celtic can't get because they're not playing.
Without a shadow of doubt. And listen, Gordon, see, the thing is, it's interesting because obviously they played last week as well, before Rangers and Celtic played. Hearts did really well, coasted through the game. And they're the real important times because you're piling pressure on the teams the next day.
But yeah, see, when respond.
Soon as you get an opportunity to try and get the points on the board and pile pressure on somewhere else, and what they need to do is they need to go on a run similar to that 8 games, Gordon. Whoever is the most consistent will obviously try and get to that title. But I still think there'll be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with all the teams, because you're looking at them all and there's really good cup. You look at Falkirk, Motherwell, Hibs, Hearts, you know, occasionally you get one of the smaller ones, will get points, particularly away from home. You look at St Mirren last night. So there's a lot of competition out there, Gordon, for, you know, slip-ups.
What's the likelihood you see Ryan Nadiri at some point tonight, Blake?
I hope to see him. I feel like he'll probably get brought on in the second half. But excited to see him, though.
Do Rangers need to be more creative tonight, Alex? With so much, for a full window, it feels like we said they need a striker.
Yeah.
But do they create enough chances for whoever the striker is?
I think there's a bigger underlying thing for me, Gordon. I watch Rangers quite regularly and they keep coming towards the ball. I watch Celtic and they keep getting penetration runs in behind, whether that's the eights, whether it's the fullbacks, whether it's the forwards, and you get that rotation on the side. So Celtic are constantly flashing balls across, and that's the reason why they've been crying out for a number nine. I think Rangers make it easy at times when they keep coming to the ball. It's very easy for a defender to just walk on instead of tracking runners, which creates more space. So I think they need to do more of that and drag teams towards the byline, creating more space in the box.
Thank you very much to Blake. It's a good time to call. Keep your thoughts coming in on the games that go ahead and the ones that don't tonight, and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray are taking your calls tonight, taking in everything you've got to offer on tonight's football, or lack of it, even your conspiracy theories about the weather, if you're that way inclined. Graham is in Shawlands, or somewhere between Shawlands and Ibrox. Would that be fair, Graham? Are you going to the game?
Yeah, just driving along now.
What are you thinking?
I think it's, you look at the fixture list, you see a midweek game against Kilmarnock and you don't really think much of it, but now it could be a massive turning point in the season. You've got Hearts last night dropping points against St Mirren. Celtic haven't got the opportunity to play the game tonight to get the 3 points. You go off of a very average result of the weekend against Hibs, and this turns into a massive game. We could be looking back at the end of the season and see it as a big turning point.
That's the beauty of this title race, isn't it, Graham? Because I'm going to also guess you've never cheered a St Mirren goal against Hearts on a Tuesday night.
I was watched it for the whole full game. It was to and fro, and then was 87th minute that goal goes in. Unbelievable.
It's such uncharted territory, isn't it? Like the knock-on effect. We've spoken about no other teams being up there. All of a sudden, like you said, you know, Rangers and Celtic fans everywhere are cheering St Mirren goals against Hearts. Do you think last night in isolation was significant? I mean, I guess we don't know yet, but did it feel like a big blow to Hearts?
No, I think when you watch the context of the game as well, Gordon, I thought St Mirren were excellent. If the only criticism we'd have is whether they're finishing at the top end.
Chances.
They created a lot of chances, didn't they? So I think over the piece, I think they deserved it. Unfortunately, they lost that man. But as I said earlier, Gordon, I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, I think they'll be toing and froing, and it's constantly this pendulum to see who can have that run of consistency towards the finishing line. And obviously, you've got to start somewhere. On the back of that poor performance Easter Road the other day, I actually said to one of my mates, I said, listen, this could actually turn out to be a really big point, because they were really poor and they could quite easily have lost the game. So it may well add to the tally at the end of the season. But you have to back it up, Gordon, especially with the circumstances. You have to pick up all 3 points tonight.
Are you the type of optimist, Graham, that thinks this set of circumstances can inspire Rangers tonight? I'm sure there'll be some glass half empty types out there that worry that it can burden them instead. There's always a possibility. Are you more of a positive thinker?
I'm always an optimist after this season. You look at the start of this season and you saw where we are, and we're now in a title fight somehow. Just shows you the job Danny Rowe's done, the tactics he's brought in. Now hopefully the players he's brought in can just kick the team on and get this League One.
Because that's the thing, Simon. It's all well and good when people talk about that phrase, you know, we just focus on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But Hearts were 6 points ahead.
Yeah.
Rangers have only got two games left against them. So you kind of need other points to be dropped at some point.
Yeah, listen.
So you can't ignore what happened last night, obviously.
No, of course you can't. And as Graham says there, he's getting excited. From a Celtic perspective, there'd be fans out there feeling the same, because it's an opportunity to peg them back. But you have to go and do the job yourself. I mean, If Rangers weren't to get the win tonight, you know, it would be a major blow. Likewise, if Celtic hadn't been up to the Pittodrie and taken the 3 points. So you have to go, and yes, there's that cliche about concentrating your own job. That's when you have to go out there as a player 90 minutes, make sure you do your job. But, you know, people say, oh, we don't look at the other
results.
They all
do.
Everybody does. And you take a wee bit for that. You know, you've watched Hearts slip up last night, and you'll take a wee bit for that. The excitement will be there at Ibrox tonight. But the players have to respond to that and give the fans something as well. They have to start the game well, because the longer it was at 0-0, then that's when a different pressure comes in.
On paper, Graham, a home game against Kilmarnock is easier, like I said, just on paper, than an away trip to Easter Road. However, it wasn't great from Rangers at the weekend, was it? You feel like there needs to be a step up tonight?
I think it's that extra motivation for the players now. Like, you look at it, like, a game midweek against Killie at home might not be the most exciting fixture on the planet, but that's now become a tangible 3 points. You've got Hearts have dropped the points, Celtic can't play. If that doesn't motivate you to claw that gap back, I don't know what does.
You'll sense that in the stadium, Alex. It kind of reminds me, I was working at the Rangers-Dundee game on the same day that Hearts played Celtic, and the atmosphere was different to a normal Rangers v Dundee game on a Sunday afternoon, because you're conscious of what's happening elsewhere. You'll get a version of that tonight, won't you?
Yeah, without doubt. I think as Sid said, I think it's important for the Rangers players to really get out the blocks, Gordon, and try and overwhelm Kilmarnock, because see if it becomes bogged down and laboured like it did on Sunday Easter Road, then all of a sudden that nervousness will ramp up. You feel it within the stadium, and it transfers onto the pitch.
Yeah.
And then obviously if you get the goals, then you're buzzing, you're popping the ball about, and there's a real confidence brimming through the team. So it's really how they actually start the game, because the last thing you want is that crowd to be anxious getting into the last 10 or 15 minutes.
Do you think you'll see your new striker at any point, Graham?
I don't think so.
No.
I'd love to, don't get me wrong, but I think get your meter in the park, get him confidence, get him goals. Like, he's sitting on, I couldn't even tell you how many goals on the
floor. I think it is.
But I'd still start with him. I think we'd play better with him up front. as a team, we just need to get the goals in the back end of it.
Is there a personnel tweak that makes Rangers more creative than they have been in recent weeks, Alex? Is there a...
Possibly Mikey Moore.
You know, what's...
Mikey Moore, you obviously didn't start at the weekend. So he's a match winner in himself, potentially that. Again, would you go with Majovski? Something fresh. But the problem you've got at the top end of the pitch for Rangers, the number nines have not set the header in fire. The numbers that they've posted so far and their time at Rangers is nowhere near what you'd be looking for. However, they've got a kind of continuity throughout the team where they've actually got a good run of wins there under their belts. So, you know, they're quite stingy at the back. They don't give a lot away. So they have to be more creative.
A wee bit adventurous.
More clinical, Sid, at the top end. And, you know, be greedy, flashes. Just try and make the opposition have to work for the corner. For me, they didn't do that the weekend.
I feel like I'm never quite sure if and when James Tavernier starts games these days. Tonight, just out of curiosity.
Possibly. Well, they may well go with the boy Aarons as well, because you maybe want fullback to be bombing up and down, whether James has got the legs that he once had. But the one thing about Tavernier is, you look at his goals this season, what is it, 9, 10 goals already? So he always traps up with important goals, so possibly tonight as well.
And if we're talking about the team maybe lacking in creativity, does he still give you that more than others do?
Well, listen, the fact that he... I don't think he marauds forward as much as he once did, Gordon. I think he's picking and choosing his times to get forward, but... If he's on the pitch, if it's a set play or a penalty, you always feel as if...
deliveries and...
Yeah. So that's, you know, he's always capable of producing that magic moment.
Graham, enjoy your night. It's not a brilliant night to be sitting watching the football, but that's the beauty of it in early February in Scotland, I guess. Thanks again. That was Graham from Shawlands on his way to Ibrox. What about the Celtic side of things with James from East Kilbride? Hi, James.
Hi, guys. How you doing? You okay?
Good, James. You?
Yeah, not bad. Good, not man. Bad, but disappointed, to be honest. Would have preferred the game to go ahead tonight. Couple of reasons. Obviously, the European ties coming up, still got the Scottish Cup games, and even, you know, potential further European ties. So it's not ideal potentially having to squeeze, you know, this tie-in another point. And I always feel in this day and age, especially the grounds like Pittodrie, like, you know, could this have been prevented? Is there more we can do to stop this from happening? You know, especially, as I say, grounds like that. I understand the lower leagues, but, you know, could more have been done to prevent this?
You got any ideas as to what that would look like? Because I must admit, I don't feel like I know enough about it. What do you mean? Do what more?
Like I feel like if it was Celtic Park or Ibrox, the game wouldn't have been called off tonight. That's just what I feel.
Maybe just because they've got a better pitch, though.
Yeah, but, not really just the pitch, it's the ground staff, it's everything combined, isn't it? So I feel like Pittodrie, Aberdeen, you think, third, fourth biggest team in Scotland, you know, that they should be in a position to, you know, if it has been raining for 30 days or whatever, what plans, what preparation has been done to make sure the, you know, the ground is playable? And, you know, I'd just love to know a bit more about, you know, what was done to maybe prevent this.
The thing is, I can't counter it and say, you know, that there's absolutely nothing categorically as if I know, but let's be honest, it was meant to be live on Sky. They don't call them off lightly.
That's what I'm...
Do you know what I mean?
I
know everybody's disappointed. Everybody wants to see it.
It's a showcase game.
People have got their theories, but they would, in relative terms, they'd have done
everything.
Yeah. I take James's point. I don't know if there's a final stone that was left unturned, but game is live on Sky. It's a logistical nightmare for everybody to call this off and get it back on. I think you can be pretty confident they tried their best.
Whatever resources Aberdeen had, Gordon, I would be flabbergasted if they didn't want that on. And it's partly, as you rightly said, because the fans would have been looking forward to it as well on the back of that performance at the weekend, in terms of we need to have a response against Celtic coming to town. But again, it really, if you've got 30 days, and when we've seen that there, I'm not really exactly sure what you can actually do. Most of them, you know, they've got drainage systems in there, I would imagine. You know, they've got European nights and all that there. So I would imagine they've tried everything at their disposal.
It's just one of the things, I think. On the whole, in recent times, I think Pittodrie's been a decent surface from what I can remember. You can't legislate for the weather. It's a real disappointment. Because I say, on a night that was teed up nicely, Celtic and Rangers set to play to try and narrow that gap with Hearts, it's a shame that it's off.
James, are you, in a football sense, do you think it is a big issue, the fact that, you know, you don't get the chance to take advantage of Hearts tonight, and Rangers maybe can get points on the board. Is that a big problem?
I don't think so much so tonight. I'm thinking further down the line. Mm-hmm. You know, when will this game be put in? You know, and who's to say that, you know,
Hearts the fourth, you said.
Another, is that when it's in?
Okay. I don't think it's another, definite.
It's not definite, yet, but
no.
Right. So, and here's to say that, you know, there might not be another call off in another game. So it's just no ideal coming to the, you know, the closing quarter of the season for these games to start to build up and have to, you know, make the extra midweek trips to places. So, yeah. And again, as I say, with the potential for more European ties, it's the time of season where you don't want this kind of stuff. And Simon, you'd obviously, both you guys, Alex, as well, you would know that, you know, coming to the end of the season, you probably don't want more games. You know,
to be honest, James, psychologically as well, I mean, I know everybody plays the same amount of games, but how many times do we look at the Celtic crept above Rangers at the weekend again on the back of them dropping? Psychologically, you get a little lift there. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So Rangers could go above Celtic again tonight. Yes, you've got the backlog of games then that you have to deal with. But psychologically, especially getting into this last little bit, you want to be close, you want to be touching. And I'm convinced, you know, Celtic would have, like Rangers tonight, would have been looking at that game last night and saying, right, we want to get to 3 points now. We want to be breathing down their neck. So that's where the disappointment lies.
Because, like, Rangers, Celtic went above Rangers at the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By goal difference. On goal difference. Yeah. So, right, well, thank James. If there are any groundsmen out there that want to give us some expert insight, maybe get the Pittodrie groundsman on and let us know what's happening there. Andrew McLean, I believe, has at least the Rangers team, if not both, Andrew.
Yeah, got both teams. Some real interesting team news as well, starting with Danny Rule's side. Any Rangers fans that were hoping to come along and see any of their new signings from the start are going to be disappointed because none of them are in the starting lineup tonight. However, every single one of them are on the bench. So that includes Tuor Romans, who Rangers fans haven't seen yet, and it includes deadline day signing Ryan Nediri, who could make his debut off the bench. So the changes are Dujon Sterling and Emmanuel Fernandez both dropping out. They're out the squad altogether. Got to assume those are injuries. Maybe Dujon Sterling is just being kept for the weekend because we know that he has his injury issues. Chukwuanyi, Skovolsen and Chermiti also dropping out of the starting lineup as well. In come Tavernier, Giga, Diomande, Moore and Bojan Miovski, who will lead the line tonight. So Jack Butland in goal, the back four, James Tavernier, John Souter, Nasser Giga and Jaden Magoma. It will then be Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diomande, the two holding midfielders, with Mikey Moore, Tello Asgard and Jiri Gassama in behind Bojan Miovski. The substitutes: Kelly, Wright, Aarons, Romans, Chukwuanyi, Antman, Bairami, Skovolsen and Nediri for Kilmarnock. No surprise that Neil McCann has gone for an unchanged side from the one that beat Aberdeen 3-0 at the weekend. So it's Kelleroos who continues in goal, the back four: Michael Schoening-Larsen, Ethan Shelter-Brown, Robbie Dees and Dominic Thompson. Then a midfield three of David Watson, Brad Lyons and Liam Polworth. It'll be Greg Kilty in behind Tyrese John-Jules and Bruce Anderson. The substitutes: Stryek, Williams, McKenzie, Dacher, Stanger, Klesenko, Thompson, Tishbola and Hugel.
Any of that surprise you, Alex Ray?
Yeah, there's a few. We obviously mentioned Tav a couple of minutes ago, Gordon. Obviously Giga coming back in. I think Asgard's a big interesting one as well because he hasn't really set the... I know he's scored a couple of goals recently. I think it's the jury's still out with this guy. I thought that Moore may well come into the equation as well because he brings real energy and drive. And then obviously the top end of the pitch, they've obviously gone with Majorski. So it's interesting. There's a few fresh players there, Gordon, you'd expect, who didn't feature at the weekend. So yeah, there's no excuses.
Many changes did they say there?
Four, I think. Yep.
Four.
Yeah. So I'm just looking Moore and Majorski. Yep. So it was Tav, Giga, Moore and Majorski's the changes. Yeah.
Interesting. Rangers fans, what do you make of that? Because I mean, obviously some must have been forced, as Andrew says. No Emmanuel Fernandez anywhere in the squad and that sort of thing. It's not like Rangers have gone down Paisley Road West and picked some random gentleman to take part in the team. It's, you know, still recognisable, but it just feels like more changes than maybe some of you would have expected. But do give us a call right now whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
The weather's miserable, some of the football's off, probably the credit card bills from Christmas are starting to land. How would you fancy swapping it all for £400,000? £1,000. Lee won on Friday, but he's already splashing the cash. It could be you deciding what to do with that money this weekend. So get in that draw. Text YES to 61025. The texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You will find all the rules for this network competition there, including the fact you have to be over 18. You can also call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at your standard rate as well. You just answer the phone. If we call you, you answer the phone, that is it, and the £400,000 would be yours straight into your bank account after the call. So text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly's here. I don't know where he's been for the last couple of months, but it's good that he's returned to stave off those nasty rumours that he was scared to come back.
Who started the rumours?
Gordon Dale. After your Beat the Pundit performances this season. We'll see if the break has done him good in about 10 minutes or so.
I think the last time I was on, I lost with you, but yeah, sounds about right. Five before.
Five, did you?
Yeah, five. All right. Pounds.
Don't believe you. But anyway, Mark is just along the road in Clydebank. Mark, as a Rangers fan, you've heard that Rangers team there. What did you make of that?
Yeah, a lot happier with the lineup tonight. With Tav back in, I think one of the things that we really lacked against Tibbs was somebody who could actually deliver the ball properly and create chances. I know we've taken a lot of goals and set pieces. It'd be nice to see a couple of goals from open play, and I think Tav, without a shadow of doubt, for me, is probably the best deliverer of the ball currently at the club. I'd like to ask Alex, to be fair, if you were in the dugout tonight, would you start Tav tonight?
Yes, I said prior to the team coming out that I felt as if he has that quality. He's also a goal threat as well when you look at set pieces, and obviously when you get a penalty you feel rather assured that he's going to put it in the back of the net. So, and it's not just that, he knows how to navigate throughout the course of this. You know, he's been in Scotland for a long time now, so it's an interesting one, because obviously you're mixing up a little bit. You brought Moore in, Majowski. These guys need to start really performing. I think Moore has actually done relatively well. He's starting to show real signs that what they thought they were going to get from the off. I still think Asgard and Majowski, you know, there's still question marks about these guys. Can they turn it on when it really matters? Mm. So, you know, you'd be looking for that Diomande and Raski in the middle of the park, you're pretty assured. Then it's a wee bit of a mix-up at the back now, because obviously Fernandez, who I think has been really good.
I was going to ask that, Mark. I know you wanted Tavernier in. Does the sort of positivity of that outweigh any worries you might have about Fernandez dropping out, who's been pretty good recently? You know, Chermiti not being involved, that sort of thing. You still overall happy? Is this all about James Tavernier?
It's not. Yeah, I'm happy with it. I think at this point of the season, you need people who've gone course and distance. And for me, I don't think Max Arns has that, and Fernandez hasn't done it either. He's obviously new to the club. So I think if you bring Tav, you bring in a clear leader. I think if you bring him in, you get somebody who can still push the team on, even things maybe aren't going our way, potentially. Disappointed, if I'm honest, that they didn't start Nadri. I thought at 6'4", boy's keen to start. If you get somebody like Tav delivering the ball into the box, I think he scores goals if you're that height anyway. So why not give him a rollout? You've got a full house in the Ibrox, so let's give them a treat. I don't think Majowski has really done much to deserve a start, to be totally honest.
I think it's the timing, Mark. I think the guys obviously just come in, and I think it was late Monday night. He's obviously not played with the guys and things. And I think in an ideal world, they would get two or three up and allow this guy some time towards the end of the game.
Is there a... You're talking about goal threats, though, and the Rangers maybe don't have them. If you're talking about James Tavernier...
9 or 10 this year.
Does Neil McCann and Billy Dodds, are they delighted to see Emmanuel Fernandez not playing, you know, with his set piece threat?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's been outstanding. You know, he's been a real threat at the top end of the pitch. But it's not just that. You obviously defend these boxes as well. It's been a bit of a slow burner for me for Fernandez, but he seems to be really grown in stature. And it obviously gives you a heart attack at times, because, you know, he's trying to do Cruyff turns and so forth. Yeah, he takes risk, but a lot of the time he can play through the lines and drive beyond the striking line. So that'll be a bit of a blow tonight, because obviously they've been reliant on set plays quite a lot, Gordon. So I think they're second to Hearts in the charts. Mm. So, you know, that'll be... But you're looking at Giga and John Souter, you know, they're two big guys as well. For me, it's always about the delivery. See, if you, especially with guys that can wrap it into that an area, and then obviously you've got to go on the end of it.
Thank you very much to Mark. Let's get a Celtic perspective on some things from Michael, who's on the line. Take it away, Michael.
Hi, thanks for putting me through. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Michael.
Good, thank you. Good.
I just wonder what you think about this. I'm hearing Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for Celtic. Apparently, he's training with Arsenal, and he's got a few things in mind, but Martin O'Neill might work his bit of magic, and I think it'd be a great signing, you know. I mean, the guy, I watched him when he was in England in his prime. He's 32 now, but obviously, he'll be a class above most of the players in Scotland.
Simon?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Michael. Obviously, when I heard it a couple of days ago, I immediately thought, rightly or wrongly, about when Aaron Ramsey came into Rangers. He's not played a lot of game time. I think he's
Alex
training at
just,
Arsenal.
He was just getting over that.
Sorry for bringing
him.
That up. But, no, listen, I think if you can get... 32 is nothing if you're fit. And there's no doubt the guy's quality. The concern would be the game time he's had in recent times. I believe, if I'm right in what I'm reading, that Arsenal were looking at possibly giving him something.
Arteta didn't rule it out the other day. He was asked about
that
it.
That would suggest that he's been... You know,
he's been
proving himself in training. So, Martin O'Neill mentioned it. So, it's one of those ones. If you can get somebody like that, quality flying.
What's the downside, Alex? Because he's a free agent, so there's no expensive loan fee involved. You're obviously not paying a transfer fee. I'm pretty sure he's going to command a high wage, but you're probably talking for. Tell me how many weeks it is to the end of the season.
Five, 4 or 5 months.
Certainly not even that. Four.
Yeah.
Is there a huge downside to giving that a go if you can get it done?
Yeah. Listen, I've just had a wee scour there. I think it was May. That was the last time that he played. That would be the big decision when you have to come and play.
Yeah.
And get thrown in. The one thing I do remember about that boy is he was lightning, really dynamic, powerful. So if he still has that, because 32 is not really over the hill as such. So it just really depends on his hunger. Is he willing to come up here for a short period of time, or is he looking for something more permanent? But it's an interesting one, because you get these kind of nuggets and you think to yourself, do we have a gamble? But there's been plenty of examples over the course of the last 10, 15 years where players have come up, they've not been playing, and it takes them an eternity and they just don't make a mark on the game.
Yeah. Would that be a bit of a game changer for you, Michael? What did you make of Celtic's January recruitment and deadline day? Do you think it needs something more? Oh jeez, I know Blackwood's a bit far from here. The signal there is not great. I think he said, I don't know what he said. I've got the big headphones on as well. You can answer for him, Simon. There is I've been fascinated by the spread of opinions on Celtic's deadline day and whether it was good or not.
Time will tell. I think the two that have played, Araujo and Chvanchara, have been decent. Don't know much about the other three. As I say, time will tell. I think it's improved the squad a little bit. But they're here and they're in a spell where they'll have to push. They'll have to push to get in that team.
I have to be honest with you, the first two signings have done brilliant for me. Because you're obviously coming into an environment. You
have the right back in the good game at the weekend.
I think he looks like a typical Celtic right back. He bombs forward. Yeah. He's comfortable on the ball. Defends relatively
enough,
well.
Yeah. Yep.
And then obviously the big guy at the top end of the pitch.
Good header, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a brilliant header. His movement was excellent. But it's not just that. He can run in behind. He can link the play. So he's got a bit of everything. I think they two in particular, because it's too early to say about the other two or three, they've actually done very well.
Sack the board works. The protests work. Everybody leaves. You're the last man in there. You're making the decision, Simon Donnelly. Are you selling Arne Engels for £25 million?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Why?
Because he's playing in the midfield for Celtic at a crucial time.
£25 million.
£25 million might have been heightened because of the transfer deadline.
Exactly, so you might never get it again.
Well, you might never get it again, but if the boy plays well between now and the summer, there might be interest. I just think you can't take somebody who's playing quite regular in that midfield out of the team at the moment. I don't think there's been other ones that have come in. Listen, I'm not saying Engels has been an absolute stick out, but there's been other ones that have come in recent times and haven't taken their chance. So I think at the moment, I think he's an important member of Martin's squad.
I'll move the goalpost slightly then.
Okay.
Should Celtic have been in a position
that's a different
where you can you do take the 25 because you've got a structure and a plan in place where you go and replace him?
Yeah, that's a different argument. You know, they could have had other people lined up, and then I see it the other night, take the 25 and go and buy him but it's no Championship manager we're playing at the last minute. But yeah, that I take that on board. That could have been something that they had somebody in place should that sort of bid come about.
Because yeah, to be fair, Killian Sheridan was on his debut on Clyde One Super Scoreboard last night. I thought he made a really good point. That notion what you've just said, Nottingham Forest tried to just go and get Arne Engels, and they couldn't. So Celtic might not have been able to go and just
replace him,
get whoever. But I think it was just a lot of money, wasn't it, Alex? Because you've been on the show loads.
We
always debate if he's worth a living. That's been the debate since he arrived. And all of a sudden you get more than double.
No, listen, I think it was a desperation from Notts Forest. The fact that they went for 14 to 20 with another five-way add-ons.
Some negotiating that, isn't
it? But that's what I'm saying, Gordon. It's desperation because they need to get a player in. And then obviously they've tried to push the bar and they haven't swallowed it. I thought directly after the game in the weekend when Martin O'Neill says, I hope it's been rebuffed. I thought it'd be very difficult for that Celtic board, whoever the man is, to go, I'm taking that door and selling him. In an ideal world, you would have punted him because it's like massive money for a player who hasn't, as Sid says, he hasn't tore it up. But he's obviously doing something right because he's come on the radar of a Premier League team.
He's playing every week.
Okay, speaking of playing, which one of you two,
Sid,
will have your stats boosted by an appearance on this tonight?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
He can tell me all he wants about his recent record and where he's been in the last few weeks. He's still bottom of the table. That's what you've got to take advantage of with Simon Donnelly tonight. Or Alex Ray, indeed, 01419511025. Your chance to beat the Pundit is up and the lines close at 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. That's the number that you need. Big games tonight, not as many as we had hoped, of course. Celtic's trip to Aberdeen is off, as is Dundee against Motherwell, but still lots to get through. Hearts lost last night. Is that a big chance for Rangers to go and take advantage this evening? There's loads to get through. We're still reflecting on the transfer window as well, so please get your calls in and we will speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. I've had a glance down and these questions are tough. I don't mean to scare you, but I think they are pretty tough. Let's bring in Jack, who's in Wisher. How's it going, Jack?
I'm not bad, how are you?
Not bad at all. Have you ever played this before?
I played twice a couple of years ago during COVID.
What's that's more than a couple of years ago now, Jack. That's wishful thinking for you. That was a lifetime ago. Can you believe that, by the way? 6 years.
That's
quite
crazy,
scary, isn't it?
Crazy.
Who did you play, Jack? Can you remember?
It was Mark Wilson and Mark Guidi.
That must have been easy then, both of them, surely. Two wins for you?
Nah, two losses, but...
Don't admit that.
There was some dodgy results during COVID, as we know. So.
That's true. No crowds and stuff like that, you know. So Jack spent the last
what
six...
A pressure now.
He spent the last 6 years studying for this moment, just to try and get revenge. The coin will decide. We've got you two round the wrong way, really, in terms of your allegiances. Colour. But blue will be Simon Donnelly, and red will be Alex Ray. So let's see how we go for Jack on the line. It's going to be red for Alex Ray.
Don't.
Give him something else to listen to, please. Turn it up nice and loud. And you, Jack, it's the same rules as it was back then. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Top man, your 30 seconds is going on the clock and your time starts now. Name either Rangers player who scored against Kilmarnock last time they played.
Tavernier.
In what year did Scott Brown win his last Scottish Cup?
2022.
Who was sent off for Hearts last night?
Halkett.
Tawanda Maswanisi is what nationality?
Zimbabwean.
How many games in the next round of the Scottish Cup don't feature a Premiership team?
Two.
Who was Celtic's last non-Scottish captain?
Ah.
Okay. Okay, let's bring him back. Alex Ray, can you hear us?
Live in love after love.
Share.
Oh my goodness. Delete that for the podcast. People who are listening on the way to work tomorrow are going to crash the car listening to that.
Cat's choir.
My goodness.
Don't think that sounded good?
No, absolutely not. That was the duet nobody needed. You two. Right, you ready?
Brilliant, hit me with
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name either Rangers player who scored against Kilmarnock the last time they played.
Tavernier.
In what year did Scott Brown win his last Scottish Cup?
2020.
Who was sent off for Hearts last night?
Craig Halkett.
Tawanda Maswanisi is what nationality?
Ugandan.
How many games in the next round of the Scottish Cup do not feature a Premiership team?
3.
Who was Celtic's last non-Scottish captain?
Oh, pass.
What animal is on Dundee United's badge? Quick.
A horse. Not got a clue.
A horse.
It's funny because if you don't know, you don't know.
I know.
But
I know.
You should. It just feels like it's not a horse. Not. Anyway, Jack, what are you thinking? Surely you've beat that, for goodness sake.
Oh, the horse man.
I think I might have done him. I'm not sure.
By the way, would it be hard, Jack?
You both hedged your bets on James Tavernier for the first question. Last time Rangers played Kelly. I'd be Robert. See, that type of question, I find that really hard. Just like struggling to remember the game. Bojan Miovski or Mikey Moore. So none of you got it right. It is 0-0. In what year did Scott Brown win his last Scottish Cup? I didn't realise we had inadvertently given a wee clue away talking about COVID. It was 2020. So Alex Ray goes 1-0 up. Craig Halkett, you just got there, Alex Ray.
Yeah, I was trying to put it in mind.
So you remain 1-up because Jack got it as well. Jack, are you a Motherwell fan? From Wishaw.
Yeah.
Oh, easy one for you. Zimbabwe.
It's next door.
Yeah. I need to check. My African geography is not great.
Uganda.
You're in the right continent, I guess. But so it's an equaliser.
That's a scandal, that question.
On the line. I'm going to come back to the next one. Who was Celtic's last non-Scottish captain? I think you both passed it. It's Neil Lennon.
Lenny.
So Callum McGregor, Scott Brown, Stephen McManus. That'd be right. That sort of order. The shock revelation I've got for y'all, it is not a horse, as Alex Ray said, that is on Dundee United's badge. It is a lion.
That's close.
Which means it all comes down to this. How many games in the next round of the Scottish Cup do not feature a Premiership team? Alex Ray said 3. Jack said 2. You've got Dunfermline against Kelty. You know fine well.
Yes.
You've got Elgin against Partick Thistle. But that's it. Jack said 2.
Taking a tiebreaker again.
Are we on to a tiebreaker? I think we are. Is that 2-all? No, or is that a win
for Jack? No, I think Jack won that there.
Oh, it's a win for Jack. He got Halkett, Zimbabwe. And well done to you, Jack. Finally.
Well done, man.
Third time lucky.
It's a long time coming, that.
6 years, Jack. Tell me about it, mate. 6 years you've studied for that moment. You sound delighted.
I usually do better than that, but the questions were hard.
They were tough. Yeah. They were really, really tough. And can I be honest as well? They were... You're going to hate me for this. I did it before I knew Jack was a Motherwell fan. I changed one of the questions.
Okay.
Because it was Aberdeen striker Peter Ambrose is what nationality.
So you've changed the...
But he left yesterday, I think. Peter Ambrose, right. So I thought, right, fair enough. I'll just...
So you fired Maswanisi and
fired Maswanisi.
I think there's a stitch up here for the Motherwell gang.
I've never met Jack. Well, maybe. Have I met you ever, Jack?
No, we've not met.
Most Motherwell fans have met each other.
Fair
at some
play,
point.
Jack. Well done.
And it leads us on beautifully. No accident here to ask Jack how happy he is that Maswanisi stayed during the window, Jack.
It's good to have, you know, him staying, and I think the manager's pretty clear about that. Because, you know, when we're going into games now, you know, the notification will come up that Motherwell scored, and you just know it's going to be him. It's good to have him, because usually Motherwell teams have got, you know, one gem, maybe like McFadden, Moult, Van Veen or Higden. So it feels like we've got quite a few in the team at the one time now. So it's good to keep them during the window instead of maybe years before you'd be worried about losing them.
Because here's the thing, Jack, I'm glad you said that, because I know what the perception probably is on the outside. I wonder how you feel as a Motherwell fan. Is Maswanisi Motherwell's best player?
I don't think you can put your finger on it, because, you know, I think Fadinger goes under the radar. Slattery's been good for years. What we're missing now, but he's brilliant. You've got Maswanisi saying just as well. I think there's brilliant players right throughout the team, and then just to top all off, I think for the first time we've got a proper great manager as well.
Because it's goal scorers, that's the point I'm kind of trying to make. He's been brilliant, and he might be Motherwell's most effective player.
Yes.
I don't know if he's the best, and yet he's the one that has...
Who would you say?
Jack has lifted them all off.
Midfielder, just?
Just. I think if you had to... I don't know if he made me pick one, but I wouldn't feel confident in disregarding any of those others, because Jack makes, you know, good points.
Also about the manager, I think that was a very good point, because this guy's got him playing really well, and I think they're believing in everything he's doing. So
it was a bit of a loaded question. It was just to try and highlight the fact that it's all been about Masuidi during the window. Was there a price, Jack, that you would have said, like, maybe we should just sell him this window, or do you think it was just important to keep him and then do it late, you know, in the summer if you have to?
If it was ever going to happen, it would have had to be astronomical for Motherwell, because I don't think it is worth, you know, you see it on social media all the time, like, oh, Motherwell just want 4 million. We would never have accepted 4 million. It would genuinely need to be close to that 10 million, I think, to even start the talks for me. But, you know, I'm happy staying. I wouldn't have been happy at all if he was leaving for about 4 million.
Yeah, I mean, the
record is about 4, is it not?
Yeah, Lennon Miller was the record before that, or still is the record, clearly. How disappointed are you, Jack, that the game's off tonight? Everyone keeps saying about missed opportunities for Celtic and all that. What about Motherwell? Mm-hmm. Any chance to maybe close the gap if things hadn't gone to plan for the teams above you?
Yeah, I think when they're playing as well as they are, you know, scoring goals and not conceding many at all, you just want the games to, you know, keep coming. So I don't think it'll, you know, stop the form or anything, but you do just want the games to keep rolling around and get the points on the board, because I mean, I don't think they'll win the league, but if they cut the gap to 8 points and then you're still within touching distance of Celtic and Rangers as well, is, you know, when they come to Firth Park and things, they'll be nervous for that, because, you know, we're not conceding any goals at Firth Park now. So you just want the games to keep coming and just stay within touching distance and stay in that conversation, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, Motherwell will play Rangers soon, Alex.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, I know it's a huge if Rangers maybe win the game, but the fact that you even go into sort of mid-February, by the time that game will be, with just that opportunity, that it's a game of football that Motherwell will feel confident. And if you can win that, what that gap looks like.
Well, listen, I think most people, and I don't mean this disrespectful, have kind of ruled out Motherwell, but you never know if they can go away or run. I think when you look at the home form, they're only... What I think Celtic are leading the home form in the table. I think they're a point behind it. So at home they're really formidable. You know, they're
not conceded in 9,
which is incredible. We talk about, I mentioned that earlier about Rangers, but when you look at, they have the less amount of goals conceded in the league as well. It's their equal with the Rangers, so they're clearly doing something right at the back. The expanse of football is really impressive. They're getting goals throughout the team, and they've got a guy, and that's the interesting thing, because you've got one guy who's ripping it up. So they always give you a chance,
Jack, how important do you think it was to get Stephen Welsh back? It's incredible to think that you haven't missed him, in a sense, in the time he was back. And he couldn't play against Celtic, which was maybe the high point of Motherwell's season so far, that win. But he's been so good, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think it's great that he's back. But I think, like you just said there, I think with the manager, he's making everyone better, where it wasn't going to be massively detrimental. I think it does improve the team, but I wasn't worried about who was coming in to replace him if he didn't come back. And by the sounds of it, I think they had other things lined up if we couldn't get him. But no, it is good to have him back. He's really good in the ball, which is obviously a big part of how we are going to play.
Good man, Jack. Well done on your Beat the Pundit victory. Thanks for sharing us your transfer deadline thoughts as well. Jamie is on the other line. How are you, Jamie?
I'm fine. How are you doing, panel?
Good, thanks.
Good, Jimmy.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been waiting for a wee while to put this in front of the panel.
Go for it.
I don't think it's been said before. Over the past, with Celtic board, Celtic fans, the bringing in Nancy and then Martin O'Neill coming back, which I'm actually... I met the man and shook his hand, and I was grateful for it. I would call him the Messiah, but there you are. But going on I'm going to say a couple of things here, and it may upset a lot of people, especially Celtic fans. I think the Celtic fans are going to get their wish by the end of next season. And that is, i.e., the board will sell up. The reason the transfer window regarding bringing Martin back and not appointing anybody else is to steady the ship once again. And the fact that they're getting low knees in makes a total lot of sense if everybody thinks about this. Can you imagine if the board sells up next season? And the reason I'm saying it is because there's a massive split between the fans and the board. The board's got to go, no matter what. It's got to go. He's got to sell up. Whether he's been ignorant or not, or stubborn, is immaterial. He's got to go. And I'm not saying that he's done Celtic harm in any way regards to the years that he's been there. But recently, in the last couple of years, I think the man's lost it and he's got to go. And the board has got to be replaced. And I think the fans are quite right in what they're saying and what they're doing. But boycotting isn't the answer. And I reckon if the fans hold fire to the end of next season, which Martin O'Neill, by his own submission, has turned round and was asked on TalkSport, would you take this job if you win or lose the title? And he said no. Now, that in itself should tell you that there's a big move on at Celtic and the board. But nobody knows because there's nothing being said. This is hypothetical from me as a Celtic supporter. I'm not saying I'm 100% right. I have no, people that's telling me this, that, and the next thing. It's my opinion, and I've been looking at it. I've been following it for quite a long time since Brendan Rodgers left. And I've been looking in the background. I've not been on Super Scoreboard for a simple reason until now. When you look back at the recent transfer window, then what makes more sense? Like, as a board that's going to sell up, are they going to spend money on players that can't get ready at the end of the season? No chance. Does it make sense to bring loanees in? Of course it does, 100%. Because if you've got a new manager in, a new takeover, a new people in place, it's easier to get rid of them.
Is it not more to do with that, Jamie? Is it not more to do with the football thing and the manager? And, you know, it's hard to have a big structure and a plan in place when, you know, who's making those decisions, who's signing off on 5-year contracts for £10 million players? Because what difference would it make if, like, I don't necessarily know if you're right, we'll find out, but if Dermot Desmond wanted to sell his shares in a year, 2 years' time, what difference would it make whether players were on loan or not?
It'd make a hell of a difference. Because if you're going to sell a club, just imagine that you go out and buy and spend like 5 million that player, 6 million that player, 10 million that player, and it doesn't go right, which it has done in the past with Celtic. Right, if I reckon Desmond Dermot is hard enough, and I think, honestly, in my opinion, I think he's holding fire there now, because if you think about it, if you go out and spend, which Celtic haven't done, and you haven't heard anything, what's going to happen? I reckon that Celtic, Dermot Desmond, will be away by the end of the season. I reckon that Celtic will be taken over by somebody else. I don't know who. I don't know who. But it makes sense to me. If you look at all the logics which happened with Celtic and the recent transfer and the appointment of the so-called Nancy era, now, that was a disaster. Waiting to happen. That was a disaster. Everybody, if you asked, went out and asked Celtic supporters all over the place, who is this guy? Nobody knew, but one man in Celtic, which is no longer there, I'm not going to mention his name, because he's not worth mentioning his name, he's no longer at Celtic. Now, can you tell me who's replaced any of the people that's went for the Celtic board? You've not heard one iota. And that's the reason why I've come up with my prediction that I reckon that Celtic will have new owners by the end of next season.
Well,
at the end of the season.
I don't. It's just a
Listen, end of this season is he talking about?
I think the end of this in May, the end of this
current season. Desmond doesn't own Celtic though, incidentally, no, but that's obviously right. The largest single shareholder.
There was a lot of claims there from him there. But the interesting thing is, so let's put this in perspective. So the whole, get rid of the board, all these loan players, get a new manager in, the total rebuild, get the board people in place. I would suggest if that was going to be the case, you would try and kind of put that in place now, so there'd be a transitional period getting into that summer, so you know where you're going. The new owners would then have an idea what club and they're working
also,
at.
Also, maybe this is not exactly what Jamie was alleging, but if I've joined the dots, or if there is a theory that don't want to spend money and want to keep as much money and have as much money, you would accept 25 million for Arne Engels then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, listen.
Like all day long.
Yeah, without doubt. If it was purely down to money, Gordon, then you would have.
I think with the loans side, I think did Matt O'Neill know say that they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, the boy isn't Mavuka. They were trying to buy him. I think there was something with the medical that has forced them to take it on a loan option. I would lean towards, it's maybe the obvious thing, I would lean towards a new manager in the summer, possibly, with Martin O'Neill. I think that's where the loans have.
Okay, Jamie, time will tell. You can be the smartest guy in the room if you've got that right. You can phone back and remind us 01419511025. Loads of other games tonight as well. I say loads, not as many as we wished we had, but we can take a look at some of them. Any other points you've got, get them in. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are building up to kick off in the games that remain. We've got Rangers, of course, against Dundee in terms of the title race, the team that could try and take advantage because Hearts lost last night, and Aberdeen against Celtic is off. We just spoke to a Motherwell fan there, and of course Dundee Motherwell is off, but we've got other games there taking place this evening at Livy Falkirk, a managerial debut for our pal Marvin Bartley. We unashamedly throw our unofficial support behind Partick Thistle, obviously, for you and
Mark.
Obviously, apart from him. Who? This guy. Look, who, him? I am not an owl. Have you seen this?
But I wouldn't.
It got sent in on the back of one of his Beat the Pundit answers last week. But it's going to be a bit of a power struggle in here, because can we support Marvin Bartley against Falkirk when producer John's a big Falkirk fan?
Yeah, I know. Who pays the most?
Going to be tough,
John. Yeah, we're going for Falkirk. We wish Big Matt all the best. It's a tough gig. One win so far this season.
And Hibs, Dundee United as well. It's a cracker, really. We just probably overlooked it for the others, so we can take a look at them as the show goes on. I've got a good teaser for you sent in by Brian in Kilmarnock. It's a really good one. This Kilmarnock last won at Ibrox, March 2018. Okay. It was a 1-0 victory.
Yep.
There were 9 players who started that game, either side, who've been capped for Scotland. So March 2018, the last time Kilmarnock won at Ibrox, there were 9 players who started the game, either team, who have been capped for Scotland.
Chris Burke.
Were they? Chris Burke was not in the squad that day.
Stop. That was my banker.
It's not a bad shout. Well,
Alan McGregor.
No.
Oh, terrible start.
Davey Weir, see there.
2018. No, so you're right, off on a couple of them.
Right, okay.
We'll get off to a good start, have we?
No.
So you were right in the Chris Burke era at Kilmarnock. Let's sort of try.
Boyd,
and
big boy there.
Yes, he scored the winner, didn't he? Never happened to him. You don't hear from him much these days. Chris Boyd, 18 Scotland caps, and scored the winner. Just a wee great insight into what his strengths are and his influence. So I was down in London doing
doing
Deadline Day from the Sky Studio. It was quite cool. First time I'd been down and whatever. And he eventually
traps up,
comes on shift towards the end of the night. And obviously I'm a bit naive. I don't really know what goes on and what to do and where to go and whatever. And the first thing he did, arrange food to get sent down. So that is a guy who thinks about his
shy.
His appetite first, and I am all aboard that. Chris Boyd is the first answer.
Arfield.
No, he's Canadian.
Oh, so Canada
caps.
Yeah. What about McCulloch?
Nope.
Oh, Jesus, I'm struggling.
Naismith.
Oh, 2018. You two need to get your. I think that's the kind of Steve Clark, Kilmarnock era.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think of these players. That's the thing. Stuart Finlay?
Yes.
There you go.
The only thing I would tell you, just to nudge you in the right direction, there are more Kilmarnock answers than Rangers answers.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to work through that particular
Stuart
team.
Finlay and Chris Boyd, we can get back to it. Stephen is a Rangers fan on the line. How's it going, Stephen?
Not bad, guys, not bad.
Is this a big opportunity tonight?
Well, it is, but I think, see, the first caller that was on tonight, I think he picked the team, because that team was absolutely mental. That being said, I do think that Fernandez has picked up a knock, and so has Chermite, but yeah, look, this is the bottom line. I was really disappointed at the weekend. Hibs were not in form. They were missing key players that were injured and Bowie had obviously been sold. And we went to Easter Road and we were really lacklustre, created next to nothing. And you've got to win those games to win titles. And I've been very vocal from the moment where we were dumped out the cup off Celtic, and I came on here and I said I was convinced we would win the league. And we've got ourselves in a great position. But I'm looking at it tonight and I'm saying we have to win this, and we have to win it with a bit of kind of confidence, by creating a lot of chances. We're looking at this new striker coming in, and I feel sorry for the guy, because I don't know if he's seen us this season, but we don't create chances for Nines. I know that Alec spoke about this earlier on tonight, and you agreed as well. We're a team that tends to rely on set pieces, and we're never going to win the league if we do this. And I do fear a wee bit that Danny Rule is turning into a bit of a Clement, in the way that Clement came in under tough circumstances. He steadied the ship, he got results at all costs. He didn't have an abundance of players to pick from because the hand he was dealt. But then after the January window, it all fell apart. And I just hope we're not seeing the same with Danny Rule. He steadied the ship, he's got great results. He's done a phenomenal job, don't get me wrong. But my concern is now, okay, you've steadied the ship, but let's see a bit of pace, let's see a bit of intensity, creativity, breaking the lines through balls over the top. But we're just seeing guys like Asgard, who has played in the similar role to what Lawrence and Arfield used to play. But Asgard just goes side to side, and he's a number 10. I worry about the lack of creativity. Now, I will say this, and I've said this to a few people, Scott Wilson is an outstanding player. We've not seen it from him yet, right? But this guy is way above the level of the SPFL. I didn't realise how few games he'd played thus far this season, but I think when he gets motoring, he's going to be the real difference maker.
Does that maybe mean he's not miles above this level at the moment, though, Steve? Is that not the point? You know, guys who do have a pedigree and have come from a certain level, I'd never deliberately sort of talk down the Scottish game, but if they're here, it's because they're not at the peak of their powers. Is there a danger that just is where his level is at the moment?
No, I don't think so, because you saw what he did with Bruges. I mean, if you look at the stats, what he did with Bruges was phenomenal in a league that's probably, if we're being honest, better than the Scottish League. He's done it in the Champions League, he's done it in national level. I don't know what happened at Wolfsburg. I know he was hampered with injury this season, and he didn't really hit the ground running. Maybe, who knows, the manager maybe didn't like him when he came in at first. You don't know what goes on in the background, but the guy's absolute quality, and we will see that. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And I think he can be the kind of guy that can take a team who are lacking creativity and in games. Like, I know he was playing, but I think when he's really up to speed, I think that games like that game at Easter Road, he can maybe be the difference maker moving forward. But we can't rely on one player, and my concern is not, as I say, we can't just have this one guy, because what if he gets injured, blah blah blah, you know. But we need to play, I just feel we need to play in a different manner. We've scored so many goals from set pieces, and we're relying on that, and we need to score more from open play. So I want to see. My big fear is tonight we play Kilmarnock and we labour to victory again. And I know that sounds like a bit daft saying labour to victory again, but you can only get away with that so much if you're going to win a title.
I think he makes a good point about Asgard. I think he's too safe at times, and you want players to go on the front foot, drive at defences. And that's the reason why I was championing the young boy Mikey Moore tonight, yeah. Because he gets after people, you know, Gasamarov.
Carries the ball forward.
Yeah, and you want to try and kind of challenge the back line. As I said earlier, I don't want to repeat myself, but if you're playing constantly in front of people, it just becomes very easy, and the game becomes laboured. But he obviously mentioned Danny Rowe, you know, January, and it petered off. And he was talking about Philippe Clement, but I think January's been a very good month for Rangers. I think it was 6 victories, and then they obviously lost to Porto as well. Yeah. And obviously they drew on Sunday there. But in the main, it's been a really strong start to the turn of the year. So they'll be looking to kick on again, because when it becomes a habit, I mean, you've got to go about it, and you've got to ask bigger questions than set plays if you're going to go and win a title.
I think as well, like, so Stephen's talking there about the type of win. I keep saying, I mean, I go back to Celtic at the weekend, just win at the moment. I know what he's saying about set plays and stuff, and I look back to the Hibs game. You used the word safe, pragmatic a wee bit. You're going for a title, you're in a title race, you know, you have to take risks at different times. I agree with you, Michael Moore, the boy Moore, carrying the ball, committing people, maybe opening things up for other people's forward running.
Yeah,
you know, a wee bit more of that, but I think Rangers would take any type of win tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scove Olsen's an interesting one, Alex, where two things can be true at once. Even by our standards, you need to give a guy more than two games, right? You do. But at the same time, I think fans would have maybe just wanted to see a wee bit more of a spark. Just something, you know, just a little indication so far. It might come. It might be tonight. You might come off the bench. He is on the bench, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on the bench.
You might come off the bench and you see it. I'm not condoning or suggesting that we write people off after two games, but forget being a Rangers fan, I was interested to see what it would be like with the reputation, and obviously we haven't seen it yet, so you do wonder when you get that glimpse.
As I said earlier on, Gordon, I think it was 10 weeks since the lad last played. I think it was the beginning of November, and then I think he trapped up on the 25th of January, so it was like 9 or 10 weeks, so it's a long time to not be playing football. Again, we're very reactive in this part of the world where we go, oh, we've signed a dud, and you know, but his pedigree has been good over the years. You've seen him in full flow. But the thing is, Rangers need to get him to that place where he is at the top of his game. And as I think the more minutes you get, the sharper you become. Back in the day when I was doing pre-season, it used to be 4 or 5 games. I used to feel mentally I'm ready to go. Mm.
We're going to go back to Ibrox. Thank you to Stephen giving us his thoughts. We'll go back to Ibrox for the final build up to kick off when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are fast approaching kick off in the games that have survived the rain tonight, so let's go back to Ibrox and speak to Andrew McLean.
Yeah, just waiting for the teams to make their way out the tunnel here at Ibrox. Maybe a bit of disappointment from some of the fans that have made their way here, because none of Rangers' new January signings are in from the start tonight, but that feeling will quickly vanish if Rangers can pick up a vital 3 points tonight. It would move them just 3 points behind league leaders Hearts and 3 points ahead of Celtic, who of course aren't in action tonight because their match against Aberdeen has been postponed due to a waterlogged pitch at Pittodrie. When you look back to Rangers' weekend performance, more creativity is needed tonight if they're going to get that win. They need to create more chances from open play, as the last caller was mentioning. And more importantly, they need to score some goals if they're going to get that win tonight. And where Rangers are trying to take advantage of the situations with Hearts and Celtic, Kilmarnock know that points for them could be crucial after St Mirren got that surprise win over Hearts last night. I'll go to the teams, and it is 5 changes for Rangers. Dushan Sterling drops out of the squad altogether. He's just being managed on his way back from injury. Emmanuel Fernandez has a knee issue after the game at the weekend. That's why he's not on the squad at all. And Yusuf Chermiti had to get 7 stitches on a cut that he suffered against Hibs at the weekend, so he's not on the squad either. New signings Tochi Chukwuanyi and Andreas Skov-Olsen both dropped to the bench. It means captain James Tavernier is back in. Jiga Diamandi, Moore and Mijovski are in from the start as well. So Jack Butland in goal for Rangers tonight. The back four, James Tavernier, John Souter, Nasser Jiga and Jaden Magoma. It's then Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diamandi, the two holding midfielders, Mikey Moore, Tello Asgard and Jerry Gassama in behind Bojan Mijovski. The substitutes, Kelly Wright, Aaron Chukwuanyi, Antman Bairami, Scott Olsen, and two of the new signings that could make their debut. Tuor Romans, he's been in the door for a few weeks now, the Belgian left-back, but Rangers have just been managing him as well. He had an injury towards the end of last year. Rangers not wanting to rush him into proceedings, but he could make his debut off the bench tonight. And the one that I think most Rangers fans are excited to see, Ryan Nedeiri, who came in on deadline day for a fee of about £4.7 million. Rangers forking out that money on the final day of the transfer window to make sure they got him in the door for the rest of the season after verbally agreeing a deal for him to come in the summer. The striker has 8 goals and 5 assists in the third tier of German football. How can he adapt this season if he's been thrown straight into things in Scotland for Kilmarnock. Unchanged, surprisingly, from that 3-0 win over Aberdeen at the weekend. Kelleherus in goal, the back four, Michael Schoening-Larsen, Ethan Shilter-Brown, Robbie Dees and Dominic Thompson, David Watson, Brad Lyons and Liam Polworth in midfield, with Greg Kilty the more advanced of the midfielders, Tyrese John-Jules and Bruce Anderson up top. The substitutes for Neil McCann's side: Stryek, Williams, McKenzie, Dacher, Stanger, Klitschenko, Thompson, Tishbola and Hugel. The referee for this one is David Dickinson and the VAR is Chris Graham. We are underway at Ibrox.
Thank you very much to Andrew McLean. Did you two have any pundit predictions for that game tonight? Go on, give us your
predictions for the game tonight.
Go on.
I think Rangers will win 2-0.
Yeah, I'm going 2-0.
2-0,
well.
Okay. Yeah. Livy against Falkirk, Marvin Bartley's first game in charge, with David Martindale sacking himself, appointing himself as director of football and putting Marvin in the hot seat. Cynical bunch as his first team, Marvin's team, is Prior in goal. Back three, Daniel Finlayson, Ryan McGowan, Cabongolo's in there. Then we've got Brenny, Tate, Silla and Fatty across the middle, with Smith and McLennan providing the ammunition for a Robbie Muirhead in attack. As for Falkirk, Scott Bain in goal. It's a very strong looking Falkirk team these days. Guys that you maybe weren't aware of what they could do in the Premiership, but they've really taken it by storm. Lisa at right back, Alan Henderson the centre backs, Leon McCann at left back, Wilson, Spencer, Yates and Miller in the midfield. So no Dylan Tate tonight, actually, so that'll be a bit of a blow. Louis Marsh just behind the man with the best backstory in Scottish football. It's the student Barney Stewart up front there. They've not won since August. The last team they beat was Falkirk. Yeah. They do have some sort of
bogey team
element. Can Marv get off to a positive start, or are Falkirk just too good these days?
Falkirk are too good these days. I think
he's not listening. I don't care. You can predict him 5-0. He'll be listening.
Listen, I was just saying to John, the producer, before we came in, impressed with the way Falkirk went at Celtic at the weekend. I think they lacked that little cutting edge, but very impressed, and they're having a fantastic season. I think they'll beat Livy tonight.
I think they'll have what it takes as well, Gordon. I was just looking at the goals against for Livingston, 50 goals against 24, so they're not scoring enough goals at the top end. And listen, if the one thing you have to do is try and shut that back door, so good luck to Big Marv.
Hibs against Dundee United is a good one. Two deadline day signings start for Hibs, so it just shows you can go straight in. And another of the new signings who was signed just before that features, so Salinger in goal, Garananga, one of those signings we said, Bashiri and Iredale, the back three, Pasalak, another of the new signings, Berlasser, Chaiwa and Obita, and then Boyle and Yuan providing the ammunition as well for a man who came on at the weekend in Dane Scarlett, up from Tottenham, isn't he? So he has come up and he leads at the line. Dundee United, Maynard Brewer, again one of their new signings and goals, Cleal Harding, Graham and Crestes, the back three, Namo, Stevenson, Sibbald and Ferry, and then it's Sapsford, Moller and Trapanovsky in attack there. Hibs did really well,
yeah,
against Rangers. They probably should have won the game, shouldn't they? Can they carry that on tonight?
Yeah, but listen, they'll be hoping to try and do that with the home form, Gordon. I think you made some interesting, you said at the top end, Yuan and Boyle and guys like that, they've got to be more clinical if they're going to see off points. But I think Dundee United kind of struggling a little bit at the moment, and away from home, so home win for me.
I'm going home win as well. I'm just, sometimes little things creep up on you. I'm looking at the table, 5 wins Dundee United, 5 wins this season. Yeah, I just think Hibs will be too strong. It'll be another home win.
Well, there we go. We'll find out if there's any early updates to be had. You will get them. Penalty Rangers, there's an update, nice and early. Not a red card for Kilmarnock.
Wow.
That's a game killed.
What a start.
Do you want to go to games? Fancy pop dummies?
Jeez. Genuinely, just, I mean that from
Tavernier,
a
Tavernier, another goal.
I mean that from a, just from a kind of spectacle or whatever. That's a tough start. So it was Dogzo, as we've become used to speaking about in recent weeks, denying goal scoring opportunity. We saw one at Tynecastle, Austin Trusty, in case you hadn't heard. We saw one last night, Craig Halkett. Gassama was through in goal, and Dominic Thompson, 4 minutes in, has been sent off. Mikey Moore's pass in behind. There is an offside being checked, so that could negate the full thing. Last night they obviously checked some elements of it as well. So Kilmarnock,
that's the last thing that Neil McCann will be wanting. 4 minutes in, potentially a penalty.
Spend the last few days working so hard on the game plan and all that sort of stuff. But it stands as a red card. Kilmarnock are down to 10 and Rangers have a penalty inside 4 minutes. That is a brutal start for Kilmarnock, but a great opportunity for Rangers to press home their advantage early in the game. And we did see everything about Ibrox tonight was about trying to take advantage of Hearts not winning last night, losing in fact, and Celtic not playing tonight. Goal, James Tavernier, usually so reliable from the spot. He's taken many in his time and he sticks this one away. So it's a good start for Rangers, a disastrous start for Kilmarnock.
We actually said one of the callers earlier on was kind of saying James Tavernier and what it matters, and when you look at his numbers, that's him into double figures again this season. So I know it's a penalty, but you know you have to have the bottle and the composure to score them.
It's a proper nightmare for Kelly, isn't it?
It's a disaster.
They would have been feeling good about themselves after the win at the weekend.
A long night ahead at Ibrox for Kilmarnock.
You probably have to go make a change now as well, don't you?
And
Dominic Thompson would have been playing at fullback. I don't know, maybe they do drop someone in, but
it's interesting because I was listening to you saying that runs in behind, and we were highlighting it during the whole show.
Doesn't
basically
happen very often.
And if you get runners going in behind, you cause problem. You get them stretched and allows guys like Asgard and Moore and that to pick it up in their little pockets.
And you wonder as well where, you know, the kind of stick or twist thing that teams sometimes get when they come to Ibrox. I haven't seen it, but I'd like to know if were Kilmarnock trying to be bold, were they trying to be brave, were they trying to get up and at Rangers and then it goes and does you in, when actually you're maybe, I know it's not nice, but you maybe are better
just sitting in,
letting them come on to you a bit.
Caught cold, cold after 4 minutes.
You wonder if we're going to, you're absolutely right with the changes at Kilty and Anderson up top. You maybe have to sacrifice one of them.
Anyway, Rangers striking first this evening, still nothing to tell you about in the other matches. And of course, a couple off tonight. So, oh no, we have actually Livy 0 Falkirk 1. Marvin Bartley is a disastrous start for him, our big pal, Karel Wilson. We said Falkirk have been excellent this season. Really, really have. And they have taken the lead there at Livingston, but nothing between Hibs and Dundee.
It's a team full of confidence, United, isn't it? See, when you watch Falkirk, the job he's done, back to back promotions, top six, as it currently stands at the moment. But it's interesting because obviously you're that could draw them level with Hibs if the result goes against them, which when you consider the size of the clubs,
absolutely
a remarkable job.
And the chance for both to put a wee bit of pressure on Motherwell.
Absolutely,
they don't play tonight. So anyway, can you name 9 players who started the last time Kelly won at Ibrox? So it was March 2018. 9 players that started the game from either team who've got a Scotland cap. Stuart Finlay and Chris Boyd before the break. Anything else?
Stephen O'Donnell.
Yes, he's got 26 caps.
Greg Taylor.
He's got 14.
Kirk Broadfoot.
You two are motoring now, Kirk Broadfoot.
This is me finished after this one.
Alex Mullen.
Brophy.
Best shout of the night. 1 cap. Superb.
It's funny. Do you know what? He scored a goal at the weekend, and I think the commentator says the former Scotland international.
I don't mean to alarm you, but you've got all the Kelly ones now and none of the Rangers ones.
Well, we're kind of struggling.
What we shot? 3.
3.
What positions?
Well, I can give you better clues than that. One, I had a go at you for your Scott Arfield because I said he's actually Canadian. This guy's been capped for Scotland and Australia. Who would that be?
Cummings?
Yes.
I'd never go on, but I just go on.
Another one, started his career at Motherwell, went down to Sheffield United and Brighton, back up to Rangers. He's still at Ayr. You shouldn't, in your division.
Oh, plays golf at my, what's his name?
He plays golf at your golf club. Okay, if that's the clue you want.
Midfielder?
Winger.
Winger, right, okay.
It's that guy.
It's Jamie Murphy.
That's him.
You helped me a few boys.
I tease you up there.
And in a Rangers sense, you've missed the most obvious one of all, because he's got 29 Scotland caps and he went on to become the Rangers manager.
Fergie?
No. As if he was playing 2018.
Rangers manager.
Listen carefully. Murphy. Everybody's screaming at their radios right now in the YouTube. Give a wave to everybody who's now chucking stuff at their iPads, laptops, phones.
Who's the manager? The Russell Martin. Yeah, Russell, whatever his name is.
Russell.
Try to forget him.
Martin.
He get 29 caps.
Aye. He was
in the Norwich for Gordon Strachan, There you go, Russell Martin.
Good shout.
It's still a big night of football. It could have been bigger if we had the two other games on, but we've got a couple that have survived. Falkirk are one up at Livy, goalless between Hibs, Dundee United, and most significantly at the top, Rangers lead Kilmarnock by a goal to nil, and Kelly are down to 10 men already. It's going to be fascinating, and we'll look back on it all tomorrow from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.